At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
What is up, DMV Hoops fans? Welcome to another Believe in DMV Hoops. I'm Matt Moderno. With me today is new Mount St. Mary's head coach, Donnie Lind. Donnie, thanks for coming on the show here. Congratulations. I'm excited for you and should be fun.
Thanks, Matt. Happy to be here.
Before we get going, everybody, as always, brought to you by Stateside Vodka and their Surfside Hard Iced Teas, Hard Lemonades. They're all delicious. And BetOnline. It's your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, UFC, tennis, NBA playoffs, everything you can think of. And BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place all your wagers on your favorite casino and card games. Head to the website or use your mobile device and use our promo code BELIEF, B-L-E-A-V, for 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. So you're coming over from UNC Greensboro, had a really good year this year. I think why Mount St. Mary's? I got to imagine you had some other opportunities and things like that. I know you worked here in the past, but walk us through why this move, why this program.
Yeah, it's a special place, the Mount. You know, having worked here, you realize really how unique it is in today's college basketball landscape. So when the opportunity came open, it really wasn't, you know, hard for me to think, man, I should probably go after this. I don't think I appreciated as much how cool and how special the Mount is until I left. You know, and went to other, you know, mid-major schools that are in a larger town or have more resources, but don't have the same support. And so then you get, you know, you think back so fondly on the time I spent here, and then, you know, so when the job opens, it's like, okay, that's a place that loves basketball, cares about basketball, wants you to be successful. And then you meet Brad, the new AD, and, you know, kind of hear his vision, and you're like, okay, I think that meshes pretty well.
That's awesome. I think, first of all, I really like Mount St. Mary's. I think it's a beautiful area. It's a cool gym. It's not Hawaii. It's not San Diego State. So guys are not coming there to, you know, for the beautiful scenery to be near the beach. If someone's coming to Mount St. Mary's, they're serious about being there to be in a good community and to play basketball and to get a good education. Is that actually a plus in recruiting that, hey, like we're weeding out a certain kind of guy here that might be, you know, in it for the wrong reasons or whatever?
Yeah, you know, it's all about qualifying your prospects, right? Whether you're in sales or whether you're in recruiting, you know, you need to figure out who are the right people for you. Mm-hmm. And the Mount has some unique characteristics. And so it helps us in that. You know, we can quickly get through, you know, there's a lot of really, really good basketball players in the DMV within 3 hours of campus. There's a lot of really, really good basketball players. And so it's about figuring out which of those ones fit. And so we have things, you know, if somebody wants to go to school in the city, it's a really quick phone call, right? I'm not trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you got to use what you have. But that's the same way at any school, right? But The mound does, I think, have some really, really great advantages. You know, we can really help you focus on basketball and getting your education here. And I think that's an advantage. It was when we were here before. And, you know, we had great success and we had really, really good players who bought into the Mount community, bought into the idea that, yeah, you're here to get a degree and you're here to play really, really good basketball. And we're going to keep those two things the main thing and not let other stuff get you distracted. And we're going to sell, you know, a very similar vision to that.
I think even just coming to like an exhibition game before last season, like it's the community turns out, you know, for the team, especially when it's good, which is kind of a typical DMV thing, I think. So there's fan support. It's not, like you said, it's not far from the DMV. So if you get local players, it's drivable and accessible for their families and friends and things like that. And, you know, you've been there before, you've recruited there before, you've got the familiarity. You mentioned the DMV. Is that part of the, you know, the appeal of coming back to a school like this, is you know the recruiting landscape nearby and where to get players and what kind of players you can get locally and stuff like that?
Yeah, it definitely adds to it. You know, there's a level of familiarity that made it in a more appealing job to go after, but also I think made me a more appealing candidate for the Mount. Yeah. You know, the Mount is a place that is unique. Sure. It does have quite a tradition and quite a history, but there's also things that you there's a learning curve for a new coach. And I think I can get ahead of the game on some of that stuff and help us be better sooner. And so, yeah, I'm certainly going to leverage that. I'm going to leverage the relationships that I've built over, you know, the past 15 years of coaching, and a lot of it being, you know, within a few hours of the DMV. And so, you know, we know a lot of people here. We can continue to recruit a lot of really, really good student athletes here. But, you know, in today's day and age, you gotta get good players no matter where they're from, you know? And so we're certainly going to, you know, cast a wide enough net to make sure we're getting the type of players we need. But if we could have a team that was entirely based out of guys that are within 4 hours a year, I'd love it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think it would certainly, the fans would love that. They'd be able to, you know, find guys that they connect with and can support. So, you know, it's a good balance.
We try to focus on the, you know, the local teams here with this show. And I've had people say to me before, well, Mount St. Mary's isn't the DMV, but it's DMV adjacent. And it's something that you can get to now and see really cool, good basketball. And I think that's hopefully the takeaway from people listening to this that haven't made it out to a Mount St. Mary's game before. But from you, what's the sales pitch for somebody that hasn't seen a Mount St. Mary's game before? Why should they be coming out to check out the program?
Yeah, the Mount is a fun place to watch basketball. There's the history and tradition here, starting with Coach Phelan, has invigorated this community to love basketball. Like you said, you could come to an exhibition game, or you can come to a game over Christmas break when the students aren't even there, and there'll be 2,000 people going nuts in that arena, and it's loud, and it's a good time, and you know we're gonna play a fun and exciting style. I think that'll engage even a wider base, and you know, we're going to be really, really good and competitive. And the move to the MAC, now all of a sudden you're playing against really, really good mid-major teams. You've got teams that have perennially been success, that have won games in the NCAA tournament. And so, you know, there's a lot of good basketball up here. There's a lot of really, really talented players. And we can put it all together. And I think it's a good time for people coming out looking to watch some good hoops.
A lot of times you hear about coaches, oh, he's a defensive guy first or an offensive guy first. I think for you, looking through your background, you've kind of had impact on both sides of the ball here. So what kind of coach are you for new Mount St. Mary's fans listening to this?
I'm a player's coach first and foremost. You know, the program is about them, you know, and my job here is to serve them and to help them become the best that they can be any way I can. I'm going to build great relationships with them and my staff as well. We're going to work our butts off so that they can become, you know, what they want to be as players and as people. As far as X's and O's wise, you know, I grew up seeing the game offense first. Okay. You know, I think that's, you say somebody's an offense coach or a defense coach. It's like, what do you, when you first turn on the TV and the game's on, who are you looking at? You looking at the guy with the ball or the guy guarding them? And so I grew up thinking offense first, and pretty much up until I got with Coach Jones at Radford, you know, I was pretty locked in to, like, you know, we're just going to try to score, you know, one more point than the other team.
Sure.
And then I got to Radford, and Coach Jones taught me that, you know, you can also win by giving up one less point than the other team. Yeah. And, you know, I've really grown to appreciate, especially half-court defense, and how if you defend and rebound, you can have a chance to win every night. You know, there's going to be nights that you're not making shots. There's going to be nights that, you know, you turn the ball over maybe a little bit more than you want to. But if you defend and rebound, you know, the other team is going to struggle to score and you'll have a chance those nights. And so I think I've become, you know, pretty well versed and have a good mix of both sides of the ball. You know, I think the pressure defense that, you know, we learned at VCU with Shaka when I was there, you know, I love that. It was my first introduction to college basketball. And so it has really left an imprint on who I am as a coach. And then, you know, as I've grown and developed, I think, some fast-paced offense that we, you know, similar to how we put some of which we played here when I was here the first time. And then, you know, if we can be as good in the half court as we've been at Radford and Greensboro the last 8 years, I think we got a chance to be pretty good. But, you know, it's hard to do all three at once.
You stole my next question, Coach. That's literally what I was going to ask, if there were certain things you'd cherry picked from, you know, previous coaches. And I think that's kind of how it works, right? Like, you find the things you like from what they do and kind of make it your own. And you mentioned Shaka's going to play the pressure style, and Jamian kind of like to push the pace on people, and Coach Jones, you know, control the defensive boards. And I think you see the teams that win in the NCAA tournament are doing like a little bit of those things, right? You got to control the boards, but you have to still score the ball. And I think controlling pace is like a really underrated thing. And people think of the press about getting steals and things like that, but it's really forcing people to play the tempo you want to play. I've heard you say so far that you want to play an up-tempo style. Any more insight you can give us on that, just for sort of like a stylistic thing or other things we can kind of expect from your teams?
Yeah, I want our team to be the aggressor on both sides of the floor. You know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of luck that goes into winning college basketball games at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you're the more aggressive team, you have a better chance of being lucky. Okay. And so if we can be aggressive defensively, if we can, you know, force people to be more tired than we are, we can force them into, you know, tired mistakes, then we got a chance to get some easy baskets. If we can push the pace on offense and, you know, hopefully get some easy transition baskets while the other team is jogging back or while they're a little fatigued, then I think we can, you know, get a chance to steal some baskets. And if we do those things, you know, we got a chance. You know, I went to Loyola and I have an economics degree. And so I have a little bit of analytics background, and I think that you can win some margins. But I think that's really important. I think if you can win the rebounding margin, and if you can win the turnover margin, all of a sudden you're going to shoot the ball way more time than your opponent. Mm-hmm. And if you shoot it way more times, you got a better chance of making more shots, right? Yeah. It's not that more difficult of a formula. It's hard to do. Or it's hard to actually go out there and do it in the games. Mm-hmm. But it's not a crazy analytics formula. It's just we're going to try to get way more shots than our opponent. And those are the two margins that you got to try to win to do that. And I think pressure defense helps with that. And I think if we can, you know, control the backboards and really, really work on that, then, you know, we can get a lot of shots around the rim and hopefully score a lot of points.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Just talking about those sort of extra possessions, like obviously they've got really good players to help with this too, but you just saw UConn this year, like sending five guys to the glass and things like that, and trying to really get even just one, two, three extra possessions during a game. It the margins are so small sometimes that just doing that once can have like a swing, effect on the whole game. So I think that's really interesting to hear about.
It's amazing how many games come down to two or three possessions, right? Yeah. There's like two or three games a year that it doesn't matter who you play, you're going to lose, right? Yeah. You don't have it that night. It's just, you know, you're probably not going to win that game. And then there's two or three games, like if we're playing the Lakers, it doesn't matter. Like we're going to make a million shots and we're going to win. But the rest of the season comes down to two or three possessions. Mm-hmm. And if you can beat two or three possessions better than the other team, you know, where are you going to steal those? How are you going to do that? Are you going to be a team that gets the free throw line a ton? Are you going to be a team that never turns the ball over? Are you going to be a team that gets every, you know, really crashes the glass and still finds a way to not give up transition baskets? You know, if you can do those things, you got a chance to win a lot of games because that's what they come down to.
It helps to win basketball games to have good players also. And you always hear coaches talk about OKGs, you know, our kind of guys. What's your kind of guy? Like, what are you looking for from a player? Are there any obviously pass dribble shooting is always good, but any intangible things you always try to look for or find with guys you're recruiting?
Yeah. Personality matters. Fit matters. Like I like guys that love basketball and everybody says they love basketball, but people who are excited and enthusiastic about the game. Mm-hmm. That when they come to practice, they smile and they talk and they laugh and they joke. They want to be there. They show it. You know, the other guys might want to be there. They just don't have that personality. I want guys with zest and life and personality to them. And, you know, that we can mess around and joke, but also really, really work hard. Mm-hmm. I talk a lot about joy and having fun, but also for me, it's fun with focus, right? Like we're going to have fun, but we're not going to be goofy. We're not going to be silly. We got a job to do here. And so can we have a ton of fun? Can we be loose? Can we be aggressive? But also can we be focused on what we want to do? And so those are, you know, when I'm evaluating a player, you know, yes, he's got to be good enough, right? That's a obvious thing. Mm-hmm. But he also has to be my type of guy as far as his personality. He's got to have fun. He's got to love to be out there in the middle of the season when, you know, everyone says they're grinding. You know, he's got to enjoy that. He's got to really, you know, embrace it and have fun. And we're going to do that. I've worked out with these guys for a week. And, you know, I think they've enjoyed the looseness, but they're realizing that you can be loose, have fun, and still be to have attention to detail, right? Sure. We're not loose, so loosey-goosey that we don't care about the details.
Exactly.
We're just finding the levity, the brevity, and enjoying what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it becomes this total slog or grind the whole time, I don't think you get the best out of anybody. So being able to foster an environment where guys still feel that, you know, the rough part of the season, that's always huge for teams, I think. And you can tell which teams are having fun playing games, too. And shockingly, those seem to be the more successful teams. I don't know if that's chicken or egg. Winning is helpful, too, but it's probably a little bit of both.
Well, winning is fun. Winning is fun.
Xavier Lipscomb talked about how when you were recruiting him to Radford, you wrote him these sort of handwritten notes and things like that. Is part of putting that like personal touch on things and having that sort of personal connection with guys even more important now in sort of this transfer portal era where you basically guys can leave it, you know, after any year and you have to recruit your whole team at all times. So is that something you really try to focus on, is just kind of having these deeper connections with guys?
That's why I coach. You know, I am a relationships person. I love building relationships one-on-one with somebody. That's what wakes me up in the morning. I'm excited to get to know these guys on this team, to get to know their families. It's funny because I'm definitely an introvert, right? I don't love big groups. I don't love to, you know, go to the amusement park and, you know, be there all day. Like I am exhausted. Like little kids camp is a lot of fun, but at the end of those days, I'm done. And then I, you know, get myself back and we do it the next day. Right. And I love doing that with the kids, but it's like, that's not, you know, but what I really am about are those small individual relationships and helping to get to know people. And so I think that in today's day and age, it's helped us at Radford and UNCG, especially be below the average in guys transferring out. Sure. It's going to happen some, right? I mean, that's the nature of it, but you know, we've done a really good job over the past 8 years of focusing on the people, focusing on the relationships. And because of that, because of making it about them as people, we've been able to retain some good players. Yeah. When a kid can go from this level to the high major level, they're going to do that. Yeah. I understand. It's tough to get that guy to stay. Mm-hmm. But when they're trying to go from this to make it a quasi lateral move, those are the ones that I think we can avoid if we really, really focus on the relationships and really focus on the people in the program and the people that are around the people that are in the program. And that's what, you know, I'm about. That's what I'm hiring people who that they're about to be on the staff. And, you know, I think we got a good chance if we can do that.
You've kind of answered this in multiple parts already here. And I don't mean this just in terms of like, we're going to make the NCAA tournament every year, but like, what's really your vision for this program? Like, where are you guys in a couple of years here when you've got this thing rolling? Like, what does this program look like? You know, if you're successful at what you want to do?
And certainly, you know, obviously we want to win a lot of games that everybody does. But there's a group of guys in that locker room that really care about each other and pull for each other and are willing to sacrifice for each other. Like if we can do that, if they're walking around here, if they're in the cafeteria and they're together and they're also embracing this community and, you know, they're willing to play a couple less minutes because it's what's best for the team, or they're willing to pass up a shot because their teammate has a great shot, then I'll feel like we're moving in the right direction. We've got an identity on the court. We've got a culture built on and off the court that's focused on relationships, that's focused on joy, that's focused on development. If we can get those things built in, then I'm going to say we're being pretty successful. And I think winning will be a byproduct of that, you know, assuming we continue to recruit really good players.
You've been a lot of places that have gotten better while you've been there and just been successful programs. And are those the things you've noticed that really helped make those programs kind of what they are?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I definitely would put my own spin on it.
Sure.
But, you know, Coach Smart taught us almost so much. You know, I was the black sheep of the group until this week. I was the only coach my last 2 years there that wasn't a Division I head coach.
Glad so we fixed that.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Brad. But, you know, he taught us so much about the relationship aspect of the business and of the job. And the relationship with the AAU coaches, the high school coaches, that's super important, obviously, but really the relationships with your players. Mm-hmm. And that no matter what your job title is, your job description is to build great relationships with your players and to serve them. And that is, those are the only guys I've worked for, right? I've worked for Jamie and I've worked for Mike. And those guys, we learned what we learned, you know, from Coach Smart. And that's our secret sauce. You know, everyone says, "Oh, why? How does Sean get all these guys?" That's it. It's the people. It's really understanding how to build those relationships and why they're so important, and, and just doubling down on it all the time. And so, yeah, I think that's why we've been successful everywhere I've been. And you know, I'm going to try to do as much of that as I can here because I think that's what works in life, right? I'm trying to teach these kids when they get out of here, you know, they got to be men that are ready for the real world, and they've got to be able to withstand the highs and lows of real life. And I think that learning and modeling the behavior of relationship building, caring about others that we're going to show as a staff, that's what carries them over to real life.
Being a talent evaluator applies, you know, in the locker room and in the coaching staff and things like that too. And credit to Shaka that, you know, all of you have been so successful, and not just as basketball minds, but as people and motivators and things like that too. So it says a lot that was such a successful group, and that was there's something he was finding there, and you know, kind of the secret sauce there, maybe a little bit. Is there still like a VCU Final Four team like group text or anything like that? Are you guys all still in touch?
We definitely are still in touch. You know, we are very busy, and you know, we usually all get together at the Final Four. Okay. Coach Smart has us all for dinner at the Final Four, and you know, there's a lot of former players now that are into coaching, and you know, people that have all worked, you know, together or with him at some point. It's become a pretty good group, but a pretty big group. But we have a ton of fun, and we all, you know, look back on those years together fondly. Obviously, the Final Four and the success we had, and that, you know, we've all kind of branched off and had our own success. But you know, we hire each other, we stay connected. It's like we all are about the same things.
Yeah, that's cool. It's nice to find like-minded people because you know, everybody wants to win in basketball and things like that, but you want to do it the right way, and everybody, I think, definition of what the right way is all slightly different. So when you can sync with people like that, that's really cool. One other guy that you've worked with, I got to ask about this because everybody in the DMV knows this guy, but you were at Loyola Maryland under Jimmy Patsos. Any good Coach Patsos stories for us that you're willing to share here? That can be whatever rating you want.
I was going to say, what's the rating level of this? No. Working for Jimmy, you know, it was my first introduction to college basketball, right? I get to Loyola and I think that, I think I'm good enough to play. First of all, the only reason I went to Loyola was because when I'm a junior in high school, it's Scott Hicks's last year and they went 1-27. And I'm being recruited by Division Threes. I'm being recruited by Division Threes. And I said, well, I can play. If I can't play Loyola, I can't play anywhere.
Sure.
That offseason, I hired Jimmy. I have no idea. I don't know the basketball landscape or anything. He completely flips the roster with talented players. A lot of them sit out that first year. So then by the time I get there as a freshman, the roster is loaded, right? They won 14 or 15 games. I get cut. The next year I come back. I'm getting close to making the team. I get hurt. And Jimmy says, I just keep showing up. But he said, you stick around and be a manager, basically. And I don't really know what that means or anything, but I wanted to be around the team and all that. And we get going through and I'm around and I'm enjoying it. And I think that was the year that, it wasn't that year. So then I make it through that year. I come back and we were in the preseason IT the next year. And of course, everyone remembers the Steph Curry incident from that preseason IT. But what people might not remember from a couple games. So we went to Boston College first. And in the first game, we're playing Boston College. And the first possession of the game, I'm sitting in the very last seat on the bench. Jimmy is obviously standing at the front of the bench. And the first possession of the game, I can't remember who the official was, but he runs by and says, Jimmy, if you say anything, you're done today. And Jimmy's just like, he's from there, right? All of these people are there. And he just was like beside himself. He's like, I didn't do anything, right? Whatever. So ball goes up and down, gets a technical, 45 seconds into it. And so he kind of like laughs and he comes and just sits next to me. And the other assistant, Brian Blaney, I'm sure it was, stood up and he's coaching the team basically. Jimmy is literally sitting next to me at the end of the bench. We're just chopping it up. And maybe 4 or 5 minutes go by and the same official is on the wrong side of the floor and he cuts across and runs all the way down to where Jimmy's sitting. And he said, I heard you. If you say anything else, you're done. He stands up, he walks around the back of the bench and goes into the sixth row and sits with our AD for about a minute and a half of game time. And, gets calmed down, comes back down, finishes the game. He's able to withstand the craziness. But it was always something. But he was able to, I don't know, he was able to motivate our guys so well. He'll tell you as much as anybody, Jimmy's not the greatest basketball mind in the world. But he knew his strengths, right? He had great emotional intelligence for who he was. A great motivator, great recruiter, great evaluator, great fundraiser, and put really, really good people around him. And you learn that when you're with people. Like, if you can know who you are, then you can know how to build your staff and how to, who are the right pieces you need to be successful. And so I learned that a lot from starting with him. You realize, why are we able to still be good, And it's like, okay, it's because, Jimmy knows where he's good at and he's able to put really, really good people around him to fill in those holes.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Start clean with Clorox because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And I didn't remember the whole context of it, but I remember the him going into the crowd thing. And he's just like one of the all-time local characters. He's got the sort of Pied Piper effect. You know, people kind of gravitate to him in the storytelling. So I figured there's a really good one there. So thank you for doing that. You started out there doing some video work. I think there's a long legacy of coaches that have started out as video coordinators that have gone on to great things here. So what it is about being in the video room that sets people up for success so well?
There's a couple things. First of all, it teaches you the work ethic that you need to be good in this business. Mm-hmm. There is so many games to watch. There's so much prep work to do before it gets to the assistant coach that you learn that quickly when you're in the video room. And there's no shortcut. You've got to watch the game. Mm-hmm. You've got to do the work. The other thing that happens there is you watch so much basketball while you're working that job. And you think that that's obvious, but you watch so many games. You don't just watch your game. You don't just watch the teams you're playing, because you got to watch the other teams that they're playing. And so you're able to discover what you really like and what you think works, mm-hmm. and how other teams guard certain things. And you just learn the game at such a deeper level during that time when you're in the video room. And it's great for young coaches because, you know,
exposure therapy, right? Like, you see everything.
I'm chief of all of them. Like, I thought I knew everything when I was 23.
Yeah.
Right. And I thought I had the game figured out. I knew exactly what I was going to do. I mean, Chaco will tell you that I was a know-it-all. I walked into his office on the first day on my interview. He asked me what I was going to be in 10 years. I said I was going to be in your chair, obviously. Like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I thought I did, you know? And so it helps you understand, like, there's so many more ways to do it. There's so many ways to be effective. How can I, you know, build a philosophy of my own that leverages all this stuff that I learned in that job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, humble you a little bit to realize there's a lot more ways to do things than you think is right.
Yep. I think that's the cool thing being around coaches too, is like seeing them learn from each other also is like, you can't have ego in those kinds of things, right? There's always something new, and there's a style du jour and things like that of what's working right now in college basketball, and guys have to be adaptable. You kind of can't be stubborn about this is what I do and this is the only way we do it, because it's just not going to get you very far. All right, a couple rapid fire ones for you, Coach, and then we'll get you out of here. Just, we've talked about you as a basketball coach here, but these are kind of more, I think, focused on you as a person. So are there any things that people might not know about you that are you willing to share? A fun fact, a guilty pleasure TV show, a hidden talent, any of those kind of things?
So usually when I have this question, I divulge maybe more than I should, but when I was in college at Loyola, I was working a summer internship in New York City before I knew I wanted to coach, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know I wanted to coach. And so I was working an internship in the summer, get my economics degree. And one of my friends called me up and said, "Hey, you're not going to believe this, but I was messing around on my computer and I got you a spot in the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
No kidding. But
you have to go do it tomorrow."
Oh, okay.
You know, and so I had no choice. I felt like as a 20-year-old working in New York City, I had to say yes.
You got it.
So I went down and it was like the last qualifier before the one on July 4th, and participated. It was the top amateur, 13 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes.
Not bad.
Pretty impressive to say the least. One of the more disgusting things I've ever done in my life. And afterwards, one of the professionals that's there came up to me and said, you know, Eric Badlands Booker, if you're familiar with the eating circuit, came up to me and said, he's about 6'4", about my height, but probably weighs 450 pounds.
Okay, that's a big boy. Yep.
And he, big boy. He came up to me and he said, "Is this the first time you've ever done this?" And I said, "Yeah, I ended up here last minute." He said, he asked me if I wanted to train with him to be in the Philadelphia Wing Bowl. And at that moment, I had to make a life decision. Where am I going here? Am I going to stick down this road I'm in right now, or am I going to go be a professional eater? And I think now that I've got a head coaching job, I know I've made the right choice.
That's a real fork in the road moment. Pardon the pun there. So I think you've made the right choice, or we'd be having a very different podcast right now. But that's an awesome one. The whole point of this podcast is to tell just DMV stories and help get exposure for local programs and things like that, too. But you've coached here before. You went to school in the area. We'll count Loyola as the DMV for this one here. It's fringe enough. So any good DMV basketball stories that you have or come to mind, or guys from this area that you remember coaching against or recruiting or anything like that, that you'd be willing to kind of share an anecdote about?
You know, one of the coolest things about this job and being at the Mount, I think back to when I got here the first time, and literally on my first day here, I walked in the office, and I got here at whatever, 6 a.m. It's my first day. I was making sure everybody knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And at about 7:30, Coach Phelan walks in and sits down, and, you know, he's, you know, his body is starting to go, you know, but his mind is so sharp. Mm-hmm. And he sits down and just, he doesn't know me. We've never met, and probably talked to me for 45 minutes to an hour about, cool. You know, just about basketball and life and, mm-hmm. and why the Mount had been so successful and what he was trying to do. And it wasn't complicated. It was just so simple. And it was like, wow, this place is unique. Like not many places have this. And, you know, that was, you know, that was my first coaching job and my first day. And I was in this area and, you know, all that he had done here with camps and talked about all that stuff and all the players that had come through the Mount over the time that he was doing that. And it was like, okay, this place is unique. It has such a history in this area. And I can understand why they've always been good. So the Mount is definitely, you know, got some DMV history and ties. And, you know, that was such a cool introduction to it.
Yeah, getting to learn from the Hall of Famer on the first day is not a bad start there.
Not so bad.
That's very cool. Coach, what are the social media handles? Where can we follow this journey along the way here? Anything you want to plug from your perspective, you know, with the program before we get out of here?
I mean, certainly, you know, you can follow our program. It's Mount Hoops on everything, I believe. I haven't actually been updated on that, but I think so. At least it was 8 years ago when I was running it. And then I'm DS Lind on everything that you might want to follow me. But no, I mean, I'm so excited to have this opportunity. I think that this is a exciting time for Mount St. Mary's University. It's an exciting time for Mount St. Mary's athletics. You know, we had a new president coming in. We just got a new athletic director, and now we have a new basketball coach. And there's a lot of momentum moving in the right direction right now. And with us being in the MAC and the time's now, right? I think we can make the Mount a destination for really, really good student athletes that want to make this the place where they are able to reach their dreams. And we play really fun basketball. We win a lot of games, and come on out, check it out. It's like you said, it's not that far. We're if we're not in the DMV, we're DMV adjacent. Yep. Come check it out and come see them out in November, December.
It's really just that simple, right? Like, it's good basketball. It's a cool place, and the team will be fun to watch. I don't know how anybody can kind of turn that down. So Coach, congratulations again. Thank you for doing this. We really appreciate the time. Look forward to kind of following this along the way here and checking in with you throughout the season and seasons, you know, beyond this one. So thank you and good luck.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Enjoy doing it.
Of course. Yeah, anytime. All right, everybody, you know the drill. Rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Press that little like button for us if you're watching on YouTube. We're presented by betonline.ag, and we will catch you all next time.
Is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.